Hey guys, welcome to Backstage with Millionaires. I'm Caleb, your host, and today the guest that we have on the show is Sumit Shah. He's one of the co-founders and the CEO of Dukaan, and essentially what this product allows people to do is set up an online store for their business in less than 30 seconds. So Sumit, first of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
For sure. So I just wanted to ask you to start things off. When did you first discover entrepreneurship? What was the first step that you took towards becoming an entrepreneur?
I think the very first time I heard this word, or like, somebody told me, hey, so you want to become an entrepreneur? I said, I don't know the meaning of that word, but yeah, it sounds cool. So, right? So all the things already started, and then I explored that. Okay, like there is a specific word in English for the same. So I think like that was the moment when I got my first client. Back then, I used to design websites. Right? I used to go in MIDCs, ask people, hey, do you want like an online website? And I remember one guy paid me like around $120 for designing a website. So that's where it all started, right? So you know, during the college, you're like able to make money for the first time.
And what was that like making that first, what did you say, sorry,
$120.
Yeah. Was that like a big deal
it
for you?
It was a big deal, yeah, for sure. Because like I borrowed like $100 like from like my friends, and that back those time, that amount was like maybe like $50,000 for today. Something like that. So,
but obviously more money has come along the way now. So $120 is like,
it's nothing now.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Peanuts. But, the first kind of company that you worked for was, correct me if I'm wrong, but housing.com, right?
Housing.com. Yeah.
So what were you kind of doing there?
So I was helping them with, scaling their search traffic, right? Whenever you search something on Google, I used to help these companies to, you know, like rank on the top position. Because what used to happen like back then, like even now, is like, as soon as somebody raises some funds, everybody starts going like super aggressive on the paid ads. And I don't think like it needs skills to, you know, like run paid advertisement. Like even if you like take a look at like the 10 year, 20 years like kids, they know like how to get like 1,000 Instagram followers by running the 100 rupees ads. Exactly same way happen for the companies, right? Like if you scale up your budget from like $1,000 to like $10,000, it's essentially going to just get you like more reach and everything. So it doesn't need like skills. Could be like some skills if you are like selling like a lot of products, but otherwise no. Versus like I was personally interested in like how do I get the growth without like spending money. So that was the core focus, and like kept exploring all things whichever it worked. Like, hey, I did this thing, I didn't spend any amount, but I still got like these many people visiting my website. Maybe they transacted, or maybe like any intent that I defined.
Sure. And that's probably why, I mean, you developed these skills obviously with housing.com, and then also with Tiny Owl, which was a food delivery startup.
Yep,
right.
Correct.
No longer around.
They are no longer, yeah.
But then you decided to go on and start your own company.
Yeah.
So I guess that was sort of the first step, right, towards entrepreneurship.
So the way it started is like both founders, like Tiny Owl and like Housing, they were not happy with like one guy working for like both of them. So the conclusion was like, hey, like you go out of both the companies, you start your own. We had like enough money to start all the things, and both the companies were like scaling so fast. We put together the team of like around like 80, 90 people. So that was like total service agency. During the way, we learned that like it's not just like Housing and Tiny Owl who are like in need of this service, but almost everybody who is like raising funds. And back those days, like I think the tech ecosystem was like pretty hot. Everybody was getting like funded crazy amounts, and like we were the one who were like selling shovels.
And what exactly were you guys doing with
just SEO? That's it. Nothing that's else. It. Like you just tell me like what keywords to rank, we'll rank.
Sure.
For the keywords, during like first year itself, we made like more than like $3 million in revenue. Mm. And I think like as a service agency, that's a good number.
Yeah. And that was in 2014, right?
2014, yeah.
2014 until 2014, 2018.
2015, yeah.
So kind of not just, dealing with SEO,
right,
and stuff like online digital marketing, but also as an entrepreneur yourself, right? I'm sure those years, those 4 years would have been really big years in terms of your growth as a founder and as an actual sort of managing people and managing all these things. So maybe what were some of the key learnings from that time period?
The key learnings for especially like service agencies is like automate most of the things. Because the moment you start scaling the service agencies, you know, like you won't be able to stick to the processes like 100%. Then there are like a lot of clients coming up with like the last minute requirements. Hey, like it's a Diwali, like why don't you do like this campaign for us? And now we don't have resources, right? So scaling services agencies, it's next to impossible when the whole value is mapped with like a face that, hey, like Sumit is handling all campaigns. Now what happens is like everybody start expecting you to attend all the meetings and call. That's exactly what's happening in our case. Like we had to spend like more than like 40-50% of our time attending the meetings and explaining other people how SEO works when it is like none of their business, right? You came up with the specific goal that, hey, I want to increase the traffic of my website for these keywords. Now it doesn't matter for you, right? To how do we do it? Because again, like it's a secret sauce, right? So I think like that's how like things started like falling down. Like we were not happy with like spending like a lot of time on the like explaining all other companies that how exactly SEO works. So that's where like we decided to like, hey, like let's shut down the service business. Let's productize the exact version of services that we used to provide in Rank, RiseMetrics. So that's where like the ranks started.
Right. That was like sort of more of like a suite of tools, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it's like do it yourself. Like we'll tell you that like here you stand. If you want to like grow from like point A to point B, then like these are the kind of things you need to do. And yeah, then you keep doing all the things by yourself.
Definitely. And that was from 2018 till actually present, right? That company is
still... it's still present. Yeah, it's growing like pretty fast.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But then, okay, so this is like, we're all talking about SEO, we're talking about digital marketing, we're talking about these tools, but then Dukaan is like something completely different, right? So tell me about that. Like, when did you guys sort of decide to shift to do Dukaan?
So the reason, like I used to operate from Bombay, but since I was not able to find like a lot of techies in Bombay, I like moved to Bangalore and then the lockdown happened. Now what started happening is like, there were like a lot of... you know, like companies who are like spending enough money on ranks, and because of COVID, their businesses got affected. So everybody like reduced their budget significantly. So the revenue of ranks even like got impacted, right? So we were working on like building new tools. We put team together like around like 7-8 people who are like ex co-founders of like some or other companies, and we started you know like working on the scale because ranks in ranks you need to analyze like hundreds of millions of rows and see like. What is the pattern of like specific website ranking for like specific. So from that point itself, we started learning like how to operate on the scale, right? And during the peak lockdown, like one day I got a text from the Jockey outlet from Indiranagar saying that, hey, like we'll deliver to your place. Now the most immediate question was like, why these people are not using Shopify, right? Like companies like Jockey. Second question is like, if they get like, for example, 50 orders, how would they, you know, like keep a track that, okay, like these many orders they already delivered, these many orders came from the area where they don't even service. So quickly took a look at the market, like whether somebody is providing like similar sort of situation, because Shopify, it's like too difficult to understand. Like I know that because like, and see the main question was like, it should not be just Jockey who is like facing all this, you know, like business going down and like things like that. Everybody's like facing the same problems, right? Being from the small town, like less than 10,000 population, I know like what is the kind of technological knowledge these people have, right? So Dukaan started as, you know, like just one like hackathon project. It's like, hey, let's launch this app, like we don't have any work to do. And we launched the app like from day third, fourth itself, like we started getting like a lot of calls. Sir, like what you have built, like crazy thing. I've sold like 2 phones in like last 24 hours and I need like this specific thing in the app. So the now requests that started coming in, they were like too specific, right? For example, when we thought that people add products like per kg, per milligram or some, things like that. Then we started discovering that, hey, like every state has, you know, like their different metrics or like way of doing the business, right? For example, somebody from Rajasthan, he said that we sell per gauge or gauge, something like that. And it's like, okay. Then one taxi driver called up and is like, sir, I provide like outstation cab service and I sell per kilometer. Then we explored like, oh, this is like whole new use case. Like I never thought that the taxi driver will come and like start selling things on the platform. And I think during that time itself, there was Eid. And we saw somebody selling goats on the Eid. And I was like, damn, like this guy, like I don't think like these kind of people would ever be able to use the platform, but he did.
Yeah.
It's so simple. This every single day, like new use case, new use case, new use case. Like within a week time, I think like we were already on trending on the first position on this Google Play Store under business category.
Within a week?
Within a week, yeah. Because that's what we did, right? Like for the 8 years, ranks and RiseMetrics, all we did is like burnt millions of dollars of other companies to learn like what works and what doesn't work.
Sure.
Now we don't have to experiment. We know like this works, so let's do this thing. So I think that's a USP, I would say, like behind the team, like.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning too earlier, like Shopify, right?
Yep.
That's a Canadian company.
Yep.
But yeah, it's built for people who kind of understand the technology a little bit more. And I think probably even like when they first launched their product, I don't even know what year that was, but it was more focused on desktop, right? And less on mobile. Whereas in India, everybody is on mobile.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And because in all the developed countries, all the small businesses, they mostly have the desktops, right? They can manage all the things. Like for example, if you want to get started with the Shopify, you need to have email ID. In case of Dukan, we don't need like email ID or anything. And I know like these businesses don't even know like what is the meaning of email ID.
Yeah.
So exactly like if I have to like give you the real world example, McDonald's sells burgers in US, but here they have to sell aloo tikkis. Mm-hmm. So consider the same case, right? Everything has to happen on the mobile since desktop penetration is like not that high in India. So yeah, the core focus was like everything should work on mobile and it should be easy. That's it.
And this is something that I've heard from a lot of entrepreneurs, like your product needs to be specific, right? Mm. You need to be solving a specific problem. But in the case of Dukan, it's almost the opposite, right? It's so versatile. Like the platform is so open to sort of different kinds of uses from different kinds of businesses.
Exactly.
I think that's where you're seeing this kind of success now, where
it's not a push product. That's the exact situation of the whole ecosystem right now, right? Like people just have time. PUBG is banned. TikTok is banned. Business is down. Now you are just, you know, like doing anything and everything it takes to get back in the business. So I think like people know like things are going to get worse from here. So they should do like something quickly in order to, you know, like get back in the business.
Yeah.
So the moment they see the ad, like they'll just go and like explore like how exactly this thing works. And once they understand, oh, this is like super easy, then they are like stick to the platform, like keep doing like next things.
So this is really, from my perspective, this is a product that's really specifically designed for India. But one thing that a lot of companies and a lot of different services struggle with is language, right?
Right.
India is one of those countries that has so many different languages. There's so many different dialects, right? So how is that something, like how are you guys navigating that?
I don't know. Like I don't think like you need to, you know, like provide the regional language support or something. Like have you seen like WhatsApp launching the Hindi version?
No.
That's it.
But it's still
super
popular.
You have to build your product in a way that like you don't have to explain like how to use the product.
That's it's just what icons.
Yeah, it's just icons and they know like where to click. And like if you use like common words, right? For example, on the dashboard, we had this term called revenue. The moment we changed it to like total sales, everybody knows like it's a sale.
Mm.
It's a common word, right? You don't need like regional languages or something, which I believe.
Sure. Revenue was something that they looked at and they're like, what's that
word?
What
is this? Like this? They don't even know like how to pronounce this word.
Huh.
One word was like add to cart on the consumer front. See, like the store, once the store gets created, you are seeing the beautiful, you know, like site where like all the products are listed and like there's add to cart button. So one user called me, sir, like your app is not working. It's not good and all. I said, what happened? He's like, I'm clicking on this button and I was like, nothing is happening. I said, like, do you know the meaning of that button? He's like, no, the button was add to cart. Then we changed it to like add to bag. The conversions rate went up like 22%.
Sorry, add to what?
Add to bag.
Bag.
Yeah. So they understand bag. They don't understand
nobody
cart.
Nobody purchases cards.
So
yeah.
Most of the users are from like second tier, third tier city, right? Digitizing or for the first time. So yeah, these kind of things.
Amazing. So what are some of the other, you had mentioned this guy who's selling goats on Dukan, but like what are some of the other kind of interesting use cases that you've seen?
One guy is selling all the religious service, like a wedding ceremony thing, then the house blessing and like things like that. Then he is like, I'll read your hand. So these kind of services, like somebody selling, I'll share the link of the store.
So it's like kind of like a puja thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like puja and everything. Second was a professor selling courses, right? He's like, this chapter thermodynamics, I'll charge like 150 rupees. You buy this product, you will get a video and like things like that. So people have started selling digital goods as well.
He's doing like his own edtech thing.
He's doing his own edtech thing on Dukan.
Wow.
Because ultimately, like what people won't trust on, like, you know, like aggregators, right? Amazon, Flipkart, all of these people are like aggregators. We are a platform. And here people have that, you know, like thing that, hey, like this thing is like mine. Like the moment he opts for, you know, like custom domain, maybe nobody will get to know that, you know, like how this guy has built this store. But at the same time, this guy is like, hey, like I own the digital store and like I'm selling all the things online. So personal branding plus like sales, it becomes like a game of like the combination of both.
So we have to sort of talk about this at least briefly. You know, the journey has been amazing, but obviously there's been a couple of, I guess you could say, like roadblocks or setbacks, things that have been obviously not enjoyable experiences for you and your team. Specifically, I want to talk about the fact that Dukan was not on the App Store for like what, like 50 days was it?
Yeah, 50 days. Yeah.
So what exactly, tell me a little bit about that.
So we were in a legal battle with a company called Khatabook, which now got like resolved and like everything is like good to go now. So there were like differences in terms of, you know, like the copyright and the source code and things like that, which we already resolved.
I'm glad that it's all sort of...
But at least like we learned, you know, like how the whole legal system works, right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of like experience because it's just the beginning and I know like legal sort of things are like going to arrive in the future as well, right? Could be for any specific reason. So I think like it's good to get aware of all these things, like this is how it works.
Definitely. And yeah. Even before, you know, we started rolling the cameras, you were talking about this idea of like sort of making mistakes early and yeah. learning what works and what doesn't work, right?
Yes.
So it seems like that sort of falls into that category,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Like the fail fast
yes,
sort of category.
Exactly.
So now that that's ironed out,
yeah.
the path is at least for the time being clear.
Path is clear totally.
Yeah. I guess this is something that we actually haven't touched on, so it would be worth covering.
Yeah.
What exactly from like beginning, someone hears about Dukan for
right.
the first time
mm-hmm.
until the end where mm-hmm. something is, you know, the customer has a product in hand.
Mm-hmm.
What is that journey or what is that story?
Right. So when you as a seller create your store, you get one like unique link, which says like mydukan.io/whatever is your username, right? On that page, your whole catalog is will be displayed, right? So what, how the user behavior is currently is like, the moment you get the link and the moment you create like all the catalog and everything, you start sharing the link with your existing customers, right? People who already know you, right? Once you start getting the orders and everything, then by that time you already learned like what are different order status codes, how do I mark order like shipped, delivered, like how do I see the revenue reporting and all that part. The next interesting thing for these people is like, hey, how do I get like more business now? Now they go on like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, share a chat, and they start posting all across, you know, like either their homes, you know, like Facebook page or WhatsApp groups, or maybe like try to do like some like few smart people will go and like run the ads on Instagram or like Facebook. So the second step that they enter in is like, how do I expand the reach where I'm selling? For example, consider a case of restaurant. Once he's like fine with like, you know, okay, like this is how the whole online system works and like I'm getting enough business from Kor Mangla. Now the guy wants to like sell in Indiranagar maybe, right? So now he will start finding like, how do I get to the people who are like staying in Indiranagar? So they have like, you know, like figured out like digital is the way to, you know, like get more coverage and reach. And then we have, you know, like built a small suite of tools within the app itself, which allows you to create like beautiful banners and stories and everything, which ultimately gets you like more reach. Otherwise, like if you just text that, hey, like I'm selling this thing, like nobody will like feel like exciting enough.
That's but like the WhatsApp
you, yeah,
method, right?
But the moment you throw like buy one, get one banner free, then like everybody's, oh, like somebody's selling something and he's offering discount. So it's like, I would say like simplest form of Canva, like people who don't know like how to design things, but at the same time, they want to design. And how like WhatsApp stories is like one such thing. For instance, like my dad puts like 30 WhatsApp stories a day. So I know like it's a behavior which is same across like the whole segment, and more stories equal to like more reach.
Definitely.
So we are just like leveraging on that.
Sure. And then once the business is sort of listed, they've got everything figured out in terms of the UI,
yep.
then what's the story on the customer side? Say if I want to get order something through Dukan.
It's easy. Like it's literally takes like 4 clicks. Add, select address, selected the address, check out. That's it.
It's just like any other kind of
just like any
the
other
same process that we're used to from
form.
Other Zomato
yep.
or like
yep, exactly.
whatever Big Basket is.
Yep, exactly.
At the moment, from what I've heard so far during this interview, you're not charging merchants for this
no,
service, right?
You're not charging.
So this is purely like you're building this on funds, essentially investor
yes.
funds.
Yes.
Okay. So to sort of wrap things up, I had a couple of tweets from you that I'm going to show on the screen, and
sure.
and I just wanted to get your thoughts or like, you know, have you elaborate a little bit on sort
sure.
of the content of those tweets.
Absolutely.
So this is the first tweet that I wanted to sort of throw at you. So what exactly did you mean by that? And what is sort of like the long-term vision? I know you said 15 million merchants on the platform by March, but like what's the even further down the road, right? Like you guys are basically you're thinking Dukan will become a category, right?
Right. So it has already become a category, right? The word says that like Dukan tech. So something like this was like not existent. Like even if it was like really small scale because people tried at like the wrong time. Now everybody's, you know, like trying to do the same thing and like coming up with the ideas like, hey, we are building Dukan for teachers. We are building Dukan for plumbers or something like that. So it's, you know, like the sub part of that, like how exactly it used to happen back in Uber days. Hey, we are building like Uber for like maids, something like that.
Yeah. When you think about Uber, you think of, well, sorry, not Uber, but when you think about ride hailing, you think of Uber, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, some people think about Ola,
yep.
especially here in India.
Yep.
And in China, I guess you think of Didi.
Didi, yeah.
Right? But Uber is sort of the largest, right? So
yep.
I guess Dukan, who knows, right? Like maybe in a year's
yeah.
time, and 2 years' time, it'll...
It will, because like the use cases that we are seeing all across, like still like we are seeing like new and new use cases every single day. So the way we build product, like the initial thought was like, this is a store owner, let's solve his problem. But now we are seeing that, like, forget about store owner, there are like services people, there are students, there are like housewives, everybody's using it. For example, housewives. One housewife typically commented on the YouTube video that, like, hey, like, I don't own the store or anything, but I know where to source all the things from. Am I allowed to sell things on Dukaan? So that becomes like, then like Meesho for like that specific category, right? If somebody's figuring out the sourcing and like all they need is just like enough reach to sell these items to, then everybody could become entrepreneur. And that's the goal, right? Like, what I want is like, I want everybody to become like entrepreneur, and we'll just provide like simplest possible tools in order to, you know, like start your business and like start making a living on the internet.
Yeah. And that's a super, I guess the idea itself of making anybody and everybody into an entrepreneur is pretty, it's a very scalable idea. And I mean, I don't know if, like, do you guys see yourself actually going outside of India at any point, or?
We will.
I'm absolutely sure you're not looking at that too closely right now.
But not right now, but yeah, definitely like we will consider like going to like other countries.
Yeah. Okay, here's the next tweet for you about your co-founder, Subhash Chaudhary's birthday, right?
Yeah.
And maybe the next birthday he'll be blowing out his candles on a unicorn horn. Like, is that something that you actually, like, I mean, in the next...
I actually believe that. Because the rate at which we are growing, it's even, like, faster than Shopify. And I think, yeah, it's possible. Because as you mentioned in the last question about, like, international expansion, see, like, if I look at other, like, developing countries... As a seller, like, my needs are same. As a buyer, your needs are same. That, like, you want, like, a best products at, like, cheaper cost. It's exactly same even, like, in Indonesia or maybe, like, some other, like, Brazil or, like, countries like that. And expanding from sitting right here, it's, like, easy task. Like, I just have to put, like, 4 more servers and, like, launch the app on the Play Store in that country. So, I think, like, we'll get there.
Sure. That's,
and, I guess... And Unicorn, I think, like, will happen very soon.
Yeah. And that's, I think, the benefit of having something that is so versatile and simple, right? A platform that's really easy to use no matter what language you speak, no matter what culture you're from.
Exactly.
These ideas, these, like, for example, changing it from revenue to sale, right?
Yep.
Like, these are words that the world knows, right?
The whole world knows, correct.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the next tweet. Tell me, what exactly did you mean by this one?
So what happens is, like, whenever somebody comes up with, like, some idea, like, they start asking their close circle, hey, like, do you think this will work? This will work. And most of them, nah, I don't think, like, it will work. What I believe is, like, whatever you think, like, whatever is your idea, go and, like, try it out. Either you will fail, either you will, like, see something positive, otherwise, like, you will learn. It's not like you're not wasting time or something. So I think, like, people should try out things. Most of the startups get killed on the ideation phase itself. Like, you never, like, launch the thing because, like, your friend feels that, like, this is not going to become big because he feels that, like, there is one more competitor doing the exact same thing. Who knows that, you know, like, you could build, like, the next big thing. So keep trying. That's what I believe.
And sometimes your friends are entrepreneurs, right?
Yep.
If you're in the ecosystem, but usually they're not, right? That usually they don't know anything about.
Yeah.
You're asking them a question and they're just giving you some answer off the top of your head.
Yep. Yep.
But a lot of entrepreneurs take that to heart and they shouldn't, right?
Yep.
Because
these
people don't know what they're talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think, like, that's how the whole culture is, right? In India, like, people do care about, like, what other people think about you or, like, things like that. So I think, like, that needs to change.
Yeah. And in that regard, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs, budding entrepreneurs, people who haven't started up yet, but they definitely dream of starting their own company at some point? Like, what would you tell them?
Just keep trying things. Like, you are learning every single thing, like, day by day. Now, if I have to talk specific to Dukaan, there are, like, a lot of specific things happened, which I did, like, try in the past. And it helped me in, like, this thing. Like, for example, during the initial days, we didn't have, you know, like, WhatsApp business account. And we still wanted to send, like, all the messages on WhatsApp. So we figured out, like, oh, like, we built this particular tech in the past, which used to send, like, messages in bulk. That got used in Dukaan. So you never know, like what kind of thing you have tried in the past and it could be, like, useful for you in the future. So just, like, keep trying, like, as far as, like, you're not getting.
So this is the last tweet that I wanted to run past you. What did you mean by this one?
So people spend, like, a lot of time doing the networking and everything. And I don't think, like, it gives you, like, good output. You just focus on doing, like, good things, and, like, somebody who's, like, smarter than you, he'll, like, figure out that, hey, like, this guy is doing, like, something exceptional. Maybe, like, I should help him with, you know, like, giving the direction. So I think, like, that's the way it should happen. Networking should always be, like, you know, like, inbound. I think, like, you don't have to, like, go out and, like, something. Like, maximum you could do is, like, if you really think that, like, somebody is going to add value in your startup or, like, maybe, like, whatever you are building, just simply, like, drop a mail. Right? Sending a mail, it's free, right? I dropped a mail to Ryan Hoover when, like, I had, like, zero investors. hoping that Ryan would respond. Ryan responded within 3 minutes. And we got on the call within the next 15 minutes. So you never know that, you know, like how things are going to turn up. So yeah.
There's a lot of pitfalls, I think, for entrepreneurs that are just starting out, right? Yeah. A lot of advice that isn't really helpful. At least it's not anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was relevant in the past, 10, 20 years ago, but things are obviously changing, right?
Right.
So what just to finish the interview here, what is sort of your biggest, advice to entrepreneurs that are just starting out for the first time? Like, what would you tell them is sort of the most important lesson that you've learned along the way?
It's the same thing, right? Like, if you build something useful, users will find you, VCs will find you, media will find you. You don't have to, you know, like, build your startup just because you want to get featured on Your Story or Inc42. You should be at the position where, like, these people are running behind you to, like, you know, like, cover you up. So that just, you know, like, there is just one way of, like, achieving that. Just build a great product. That's it. Like, nothing else works, right?
I can't wait to see sort of where you guys go in the future. Absolutely. I hope you hit that milestone of 15 million merchants on the platform by March. If not earlier, right?
Yeah,
who knows?
Earlier, yeah.
Might happen.
Yeah.
But really appreciate you taking the time, coming on the show, sharing your story.
Thank you.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Perfect. All right.
Thank you.
Awesome. There we go.